You turn to 2 Timothy 1. For a number of Sundays, and actually for a while, we just didn't always word it the same way, but we've talked about being intentional about our faith, about looking for the land of demonstration, looking for where the place where God is that not only reflects His character, but we see and are absorbed into this place of who He is. And where we begin to reflect those things that are God in such a unique way that it brings change and transformation not only to ourselves, but into an entire community. We want to be intentional about our faith. We want to have a target where we're going. We want to have a target for this. And one of the targets for this has been what Robert Coleman said, which was the awakening or quickening of God's people to their true nature and purpose, which is his definition of revival. I want to see something that happens. I want to be a part of what God is doing in this earth, in this hour. I believe that you too want to, or you wouldn't be here. I believe that you too want to be changed and transformed and respond and feel God and interact with God in such a way it just changes everything about our nature. It changes everything about our understanding. It begins to change all of the ways that things are done in church. Not just in church, but then also within our homes and within our family, within our business places, everywhere that we go. Because we're seeing and interacting with God. We're understanding His presence and we're carrying His presence everywhere that we go. We begin that journey by understanding that we are necessarily different because of that. And it's a good thing. We do this by understanding that the presence of God is with us, whether we totally understand it or even believe it or not, but it is here. Because, see, God has given each one of us a new nature. And when we begin to interact and respond out of this new nature, then that changes everything about who we are. It's when we begin to live out of the new nature that we no longer are given to the responses of the past, that we no longer are guided by the things of the past, but we're being guided by now the Holy Spirit and the nature of God inside us, Christ in you. When God begins to realize and reveal like He did with Paul, Christ in you, then the same as it did with Paul, it begins to transform your character. These days, people get upset about a lot of things, but see, the thing that they're really not looking at is they're really not looking for the character and integrity. We want to be so busy comparing ourselves with all these other measurements, which aren't even real measurements. The thing that we need to look for is the character. Because when we look for the character, then that begins to set the course and sets the destination for us. Because when we begin to look for and explain ourselves in the character of God, now then we've set a course for something that's real. We've set a course for something that is dynamic enough to make a difference. When we begin to uphold the character of God, we no longer have a need for all the sundry laws and everything else that everybody wants to put on us. Why? Because we're going to be doing the right thing for the right reason. We're going to be doing the right thing regardless of what the world chooses to do. We'll do the right thing. And it's necessary for us to step out and do that which is the right thing. It's necessary for us to set an example for others. It's necessary for us to stand up and say, no, this is unrighteous. We don't do this. It's necessary for us to look out and say, come this way, this way. This is where truth is. This is where truth lies. When we understand where truth is, then we can understand and release the power of God into the situation. So what we're looking for is these things, but in order to do that, we first need to understand and capture just the essence of what has been done. Over the last week and a half or 2 weeks, I've just been experiencing such a renewal simply by recognizing the new nature within me. Simply by recognizing the new nature within me. Because see, as I recognize the new nature within me, It has set me free from everything else that's not God. It set me free from fears or intimidations of the world. It set me free from the desire to do other things. It set me free from all those things, because what it's done is reminds me just continually that there's Christ in me. When I'm being reminded that there's Christ in me, suddenly all the other things no longer have any shine or glitter to them. It doesn't matter what the world is trying to tell you. It doesn't matter that the rest of the world may be depressed and downtrodden. When Christ is in you, when you begin to understand the new nature within you, no matter what the rest of the outside world looks like, you can be understanding of this freedom that you have. It's part of the new nature. There's a renewal that comes just simply by listening, looking for that new nature within us. Recognizing that as we carry forth in the new nature, we're no longer carrying forth the old man and the old ways. I'm sure it doesn't happen for any of these Christians in here, but you know, there's a whole lot of Christians that are still carrying around the dead man. You know, they got this set of straps hanging on their back and they're pulling this casket behind them. And everywhere they get to some situation where it requires it, they reach out and they pull the cover off of that little casket and let the old man back out. Carrying around the old man is nothing but provision for failure. It's provision for failure. What we're to do is to bury that old man. We do that by understanding the new nature. When we understand that we're dead in Him, that we're dead in Christ, then we can understand that we're also alive in Christ. When we understand that, as we saw in Galatians 5 and 18, when we're walking by the Spirit, our new nature, when we're being led by the Spirit, then we're no longer underneath the law. It no longer has a pull on us. So I'm going to read 2 Timothy 1 verse 13. It says, "Retain the standard of the sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and the love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who indwells us the treasure which has been entrusted to you." Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and in the love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. We are so fortunate. We are so fortunate. We guard over this treasure. Number one, by the Holy Spirit. We retain these things by beginning to look into and recall what God has done in our midst. Recall what God has done in our own heart. Recall what we were without Christ and where we are with Christ. By recalling just who He is, and the foremost thing that we need to recall is the love of God. Let us not take it for granted. Let us not take it as something that's just there, but let us look and understand truly what it means to be loved. The love that we have received from Him is so precious, because He valued you as that precious. Because He valued you enough. He valued you as an individual, each one of you, each one of us. He has valued us, every one, and He made that sacrifice. God Himself sacrificed Himself that we might have life. He sacrificed Himself that we might have this place that we can come to, a sanctuary that we have in Him. A place of safety and a place of strength, a place of dwelling that we have in Him. He loved you enough to desire to save you, heal you, and deliver you. He loved you enough to want to come and do everything he could possibly do to utterly convince you that he loves you. He loves you enough to convict you of those things that would lead you away from him. He loved you enough to convince you of his desire to have a relationship with you. And he didn't do this because you're perfect. He didn't do this because you've done everything you were supposed to do. He did this because he loved you just the way you are. Now that doesn't mean he won't change us. But he accepts us. He reaches out to us just right where we are. He reaches out to us, not because of what we have done for him, but because what he desired to do for us. He reaches out to us because there's such a conviction in his heart of your value and your worth. There's a conviction in his heart of who he sees you to be. And when we value ourselves as less than that, when we don't see our own value, when we don't see our own worth, then what we're doing is we're denying the value of his sacrifice. He wants you to know how highly you are prized. How highly that you are loved and incorporated into who he sees himself to be. He wants you to value yourself, not according to the things that you've done, but according to his love for you. Why am I saying this? Because if we don't say it, if we don't stop and reflect on it, we're not retaining properly the words that we've been given. If we don't do this, we're not protecting that which has been given to our heart, that which has been imputed to us. Because we can't begin to understand the righteousness of God if we don't have some concept of the love that he has for us. How can we walk in this righteousness unless we have an understanding of the love that made that righteousness possible? We're guarded by the Holy Spirit because what we want to do is allow the Holy Spirit to teach us and to train us. And to create in us this wonder, this awe of who God is, this wonder and awe of this love that he would have for us that was so much, that was so intense that he would make this sacrifice, the awe of God, something that we should walk in every day. We see a demonstration of power and we are in awe. But there's no greater demonstration of power than what has already been given to us. I can remember when I was a young man and this guy pulls up in a 1970 Hemi Cuda with the 426 and headers and everything else. And this thing just sitting there idling. And literally the whole ground shook all around it. And it created an awe. We're in awe of power. When you see the great military machines that have gone out and you saw the bombing of Baghdad and all that, you're in awe of the power. Guess what? None of these things, none of these measuring sticks capture the magnitude of who our God is. None of these measuring sticks capture the awe of who he is, the power that is within him, because all those things are but puny in comparison to our God. And the greater that we see that our God to be, then the greater that we can understand who we really are in him. That he would give of himself for you. When we see who he is, when we understand that we can capture the awe of that, we have captured the essence of this love that he has for us. I made a petition a couple of years ago for the fear of the Lord. Why? Because I am beginning to see now, and I didn't understand it then, but I'm beginning to see now that there is a drawing together, that the love and the fear of the Lord are part and parcel of the same thing. Because see, when we have this awe and this reverence for who he is, something that goes past the things that we've been able to understand, then we will actually always walk ourselves into the love of God, because fear of the Lord will reveal who God is. When he's revealed, his love is revealed. I'm looking for that fear of the Lord to stir us. To stir us in the place of believing. To stir us to recognize that God has something for us. That he so loved us that it has changed and transformed. Even his own desire has been transformed by his love for us. So we retain the standard of sound words. I want to tell you that there's really only one measure for authentic Christianity. Authentic Christianity is a love affair with God. He's told me specifically that my job is to bring people into relationship with him. And this is the nature of authentic Christianity, is a love affair with God. Without this love affair, everything else is just religion. God's love provides for us to be good. Religion merely provides for us to feel good. There's a big difference. God's love has made all provision for us to be able to walk in the holiness and sanctification that is in him. But religion merely gives you an opportunity to come and get spin-dried for a few moments and go back and do what you did. His love is transformational. And when he's transforming us in this love, it's a process that exfoliates all those other things that we've adopted along the way as our defense mechanisms. And it begins to reveal who Christ really is. This nature that he's put inside us. I spent some time in a sozo this week with someone who was raised purely in a denomination. And I won't name that denomination. This person, throughout all of their life, even though they've spent time in church and been involved in these practices, they didn't know God. They had not read their Bible. They didn't know the things that we have come to know. They didn't know about his love. They didn't know about anything but their own unworthiness, because that's all they had received from that was a knowledge that God is holy and you're not. And that was all that they had known. And see, the thing that they didn't understand was the sacrifice that God made was to remove the curse from us. They had never read Galatians 3, where it talks about, well, this is turned there, so you can see it for yourself. But Galatians 3, verse 13. See, it's important for us to recognize these things that we've been given by God's love. First and foremost is this verse right here, Galatians 3 and 13. It says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that Christ Jesus, the blessings of Abraham, might come to the Gentiles so we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. But he came and he redeemed us. He took the curse for us. He's not trying to put a curse on you. This person was convertedly convinced that because of our horrible, horrible deeds, because they had thought some certain things, that they were never, ever going to be able to be worthy of anything. And you know what? God is not like that. God is looking for reasons to bless you. He's looking for reasons to come into a relationship and an interface with you. Because in that interface, in that relationship, is the whole ability for him to show you his love. And he bore the curse for us, so that we might walk in the fullness of his love. So we might have relationship with him. So that we could have this love affair with him. Because he wanted people who could actually relate to him. We can't relate to him if we only think of ourselves as unworthy. His words for us was, be holy for I am holy. Go to 2 Corinthians 5 with me real quick. I want to show you what else. I realize these things are review for most of us. But the deal is, I don't want them to be unsaid. I don't want them to be unsaid. I don't want us to miss the holiness of God. I don't want us to miss the blessings of his love because we didn't understand or we didn't grasp the sincerity of his desire for us. Verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 5 says this, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Guess what? The old things passed away. If there's a cause for celebration, it's right there. It's the old things passed away. Some of us need to celebrate that more than others, but I can tell you it's a cause for celebration. If the old things passed away. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Those old things passed away. I don't need them anymore. I don't want them anymore. I don't desire them anymore. They passed away, and now I can get on with the new man. I can take that thing that was in the casket and kick it to the curb because I don't need it anymore. I don't need to go pull out the old man. I can go and just celebrate the new man. Why? Because the love of God has made provision for me. The love of God has made provision for me. Behold, all new things have come. We're a new creation, a new nature. There's a new you inside of you. Let's skip down to verse 21. And he says, this is about the sacrifice. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The sacrifice was made for our behalf because of his love. He declared us to be righteous. Because of his love, not because of our actions, not because of our doings, not because of all those things that we've done, whatever insignificance they might be. It's because he deemed it so. Because he said, I'm going to judge you not on what you have done. I'm going to judge you on what my son did. I'm going to love you because of what my son did. I'm going to draw you in because of who I am and because of I am this, that great and that big. Because as he draws us in, then we can truly experience this love. As he draws us in, we can truly begin to reflect this love and walk in the holiness and righteousness that he's given to us, that he's accorded to us, that he accounted to us. He wants us to understand the magnificence of this place that we have in him. He wants us to understand of the value and the worth that you have before him. Because when we understand this value and worth that we have, now all of a sudden our responses will become more like his responses. It doesn't happen overnight, but it does happen. In some cases, it can happen overnight. When he settles an issue in our heart, then it's settled forever. When his truth dawns on us that we don't need that anymore, then it's settled forever. My desire for alcohol changed overnight and I didn't even know it. I didn't even know it. I was sober for 90 days without even having a reflection of it. Because he settled the issue in my heart that was causing me to do those things. I no longer had need of it. It doesn't matter whatever your issue is. God, when he gets in there and he gets in the mix, he can take those things and make it new. Why? Because that's his love. And he wants his love reflected in you. He wants his love reflected in your smile. He wants his love reflected in your walk. He wants his love reflected in your home. He wants his love reflected everywhere that you show up. That's who he is. Christ redeemed us for a purpose. When we begin to reflect and hold on, we begin to hold these words. We can take these words and these scriptures that we know. We can take these truths that we have and we begin to hold on to them and begin to meditate them. As you begin to meditate them, it begins to change who you are. Meditating the scripture. Meditating the scripture. Just meditate Romans 8 and 2. Because see, as you begin to meditate, the law of the spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. It changes your life. As you meditate it, as you look to it, you can do like I did. Make a petition about it. When you want to see something happen in your life, make a petition for it. What's a petition? It's simply writing it out, taking the vision and making it plain. Write it on a piece of paper. Lord, I ask you for the fear of the Lord to come into my life, for the fear of the Lord to be interactive with me, for the fear of the Lord to be something that I carry with me and reflected through me. And Lord, here's my scriptural examples, and you list scripture for it. And then you just say, and signed in this date, and you get a witness and you sign it together. And now you have a petition. You know what? I've looked through the petitions, and when you begin to do that process and hold on to it like that, meditate those scriptures like that, God brings it to pass. God brings it to pass. We can do it over a financial issue. We can do it over a scriptural issue. We can do it over a character issue. It doesn't matter. When we see something in our life, and Lord, I want this anger dealt with, make a petition about it. Show Him by Scripture what it is that you want to look like. Show Him by Scripture how God changed someone else this way. And when you do that, then you've set a foundation. Now begin to meditate those Scriptures. You've come and you've entered into an accountability and agreement with Him, and now you can just begin to trust that it's going to happen. It doesn't matter what the issue is. God will deal with it. He'll make it practical for you. He'll make it so simple that you won't even know you made the change. Hallelujah. Go to Hebrews with me, 10. One of the biggest blessings we have is this relationship with God. It's in this relationship that we can experience the value of this love. One of the most precious parts of that relationship is our ability to come and interface with Him. As is expressed here in Hebrews 10, verse 19. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He inaugurated for us through the veil that is His flesh. Since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with sincere faith and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. See, in this, we can recognize the love of God has prepared the way for us. It's prepared the way into the very Holy of Holies. And as that Holy of Holies is opened up to us, we can have a relationship with Him, not just in this plane, but in the next. Not just here on earth, but in the very right hand, the very bosom of God, we're allowed to come into the holiest of all. Relationship with Him. And as we do so, we're allowing Him to open us up. You can't come and experience God at that level. You can't come face to face with a living God and not be changed. It's the most wonderful thing. Sometimes when we're not coming close and we're not coming into this presence, maybe we need to look and just examine, is my heart really truly wanting to engage that change? Because if we'll live in a wholeness of heart, if we'll live in a wholeness of heart towards God, and if we'll allow Him to do whatever He wants, He's going to interface with you. And as He interfaces with you, you're going to be exposed to that love. As He exposes you to that love, then you're all of a sudden the other worries, the fears, and whatever else that you had going on will be set aside. We've got to live in wholeness of heart toward Him. As we engage Him with the wholeness of heart, we can experience the wholeness of His love and His devotion towards us. He gives us confidence to enter the holy place. Why? Because Jesus lived right here with us, walked among us. He understands and has experienced all the things that have affected us. He's actually been living, doing it firsthand with us. And as such, He was made the perfect high priest to go before us and prepare a way. To go before us, and no longer do we need those external sacrifices, but we can come with a sacrifice of our heart, making fertile ground for the place of His love. Go to 1 Peter with me. We'll go to chapter 4. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. That's the ultimate extension of grace. Love covering a multitude of sins is the ultimate extension of grace in our lives. Because it's His love that covers a multitude of our sins, but then our love for one another will also cover their sin. And yours. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. And as each has received a special gift, employ it in the serving of one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. One of the things that happens then is when we begin to perceive the love that God has for us, as we begin to walk in the love that God has for us, then it makes serving one another become a normal and natural response to those things that we have received. Interacting and sometimes serving one another means allowing someone to let them be a little less than saintly and let your love cover their sin. As we serve one another, we can begin to just know and look at it and recognize it's not so much a matter of what someone else thinks or does or responds, but what God has done in you that you're responding to. Someone else may not respond in the proper and appropriate way, but it's still up to us to allow the love of God to be made manifest, to be revealed in every situation. Because if we'll allow that to happen, then we can be the example that God has caused us to be and created us to be. Allowing God's love. Recognizing when it is God's love that you're responding, it takes something that's just a job and transforms it. I don't do what I do because it's a job. I can get a lot more productive employment elsewhere. I do it because I love you. Each and every one of you. I do it because it's my heart to serve you. Because as I serve you, then I see God's purpose, and as I see God's purpose for you, I can release God's purpose to you. And as I release God's purpose to you, I get to see you come into the maturity that God has for you. There's great joy in that. There's great satisfaction in that. When I see God's purpose coming forth in somebody's life, when I see who He is being reflected in their character, and I see their change and their coming and transforming into who He's called them to be. I love to see those things. It doesn't matter where your work is, whether it's in a secular field or in a ministry field or wherever. Each and every one of us has those opportunities to just come alongside someone else and exemplify the love of God to them and encourage them in who they can be. As we encourage them in who they can be, we're lifting up the cause of everyone, not just that one. God has called you, and He has a destiny for you. And when you recognize your worth, when you cause someone to recognize their worth and recognize who they are in Christ, now then you've called forth the very destiny of God for them. You've put them into agreement now with their destiny. There's great value in having and seeing someone come into agreement with their destiny. When we're fervent in our love, we'll do the same as He did, because He served. It was His heart to serve. He served Himself up. Not because He had to, but because He chose to. The devil couldn't make Him do it. The Father wouldn't make Him do it. He had to choose. And He chose you. Just flip back with me a couple pages to James 1. You'll say, well, Brother Chuck, it's just too hard for me. He's got words of encouragement for you. James 1 and 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Blessed is he who is found doing what the Lord would have him do. Blessed is he who will receive the commission of God in His love. Blessed is he who will reflect the very character and nature of Christ to those who are around him. Blessed is he who has qualified himself to receive the crown of life, the crown of victory. It happens by looking and allowing him to move in us through his love. It happens when we prove ourselves, as it says in verse 22, to be doers of the word. When we allow him to move in us, not just give it lip service, but to allow it to motivate us. To get outside of ourselves, to exceed and excel past the place that we would have ever imagined, to come and step into something that was called destiny. Because we could believe in a God who loved us. There's a gentleman, and his name Brandon something, and I don't know, and maybe I'll be able to tell you more about that later. But after all of his years, his faith is this, that when we come face to face with God, there's going to be one question that you have to know. Did you come to love me? Did you know that I loved you? If we'll know that he loves us, if we'll understand that he loves us and we'll keep that in focus and allow that to be the thing that guides us and leads us through the trials and the tests and temptations and everything else in our life, if we'll let that love guide us, then it will bring us to the place of destiny. It'll bring us to the place of fulfillment. It'll bring us to the place of worth in ourselves and in him. That's worth challenging ourselves for. That's worth pursuing. That's worth making the one thing as our goal. I'm going to wrap this up with one more scripture here. 1 John 4. And it says this, verse 16. And we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. One who abides in love abides in God. I want to do this with you just for a moment. I want you to just position yourself before the Lord. And without making any promises, without doing anything, but just opening yourself to receive, I want you just to receive his love this morning. Allow him to move in you in his love. Allow him to make his love manifest to you. To make his purpose of his love real to you this morning. Holy Spirit, I just trust you. To reveal Christ to each of these. Each of us, manifest your love in our hearts, Lord. This is the first service on the first day, first Sunday of the year. Let it be about your love. My prayer is that his love, that you'll begin to just practice receiving his love all this week and over the coming weeks. And that you'll receive a knowledge of his love in a very personal, very warm, compelling, powerful way. That you come to know the immensity of this God that we serve. The magnitude of his power.